This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to this episode of Kennedy Saves the World, and today we are going to save your psyche. Why? Because everyone has been so bogged down with psychic, emotional, and mental stress, especially since the pandemic, which, you know, even if it's over, it's really not over. If you're plagued with worries and long COVID and the inability to sleep and the inability to focus and concentrate. So what can you do to lift the black cloud that's been over your brain for some time now? You know, it's like you could try antipsychotics. I guess you could go to therapy, get a dog, or you could learn how to meditate. Now, everyone knows that meditation is good for your brain, and it's very helpful, and it's calming, and it soothes you, and it's a reset, and it can extend your life, and it can have all sorts of wonderful, valuable benefits that trickle throughout your entire being. But a lot of people don't know how to do it, and it's hard to explain to someone what to do exactly when their brain is not used to receiving meditation. It is a difficult thing, especially if you have a brain like mine that is constantly going, and I find myself thinking in my sleep, not just when I'm dreaming, but just thinking, and not even like normal thoughts. My brain is just going constantly, and I have used meditation for many years to try and overcome things that are physiological, sometimes environmental, and I have found it to be very powerful and very, very profound, but I don't think I'm good at explaining how to do it. So I have enlisted the help of Emily Fletcher. She is the founder of Ziva Meditation. She's a former Broadway star who was so overcome with worry and insomnia that she went to India and learned how to become a teacher. Emily, welcome to Kennedy Saves the World.
I'm so glad you're saving the world. Someone's got to.
It's a big task. I'm not going to lie. Yeah, but, you know, it's like a few times a week. Exactly right. So I think meditation is wonderful. And whenever I talk to people who are at an impasse or they feel like they've got insurmountable problems and then they become consumed with worry, one of the first things I tell them is, have you tried meditating? And people like the idea of it, but they don't know how to do it. So what is the first thing you tell someone who wants to learn how to meditate?
Well, I am a meditation snob, so I believe in finding a teacher, finding a method that's meant for you and not a monk, and finding a teacher that you resonate with. Like, this is actually your brain that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This thing is making every decision in our life. It's printing every cell in our body. So you really want to find something that works for you and a teacher that you trust.
Yeah.
Now, the big obstacle that most people face and the reason why people think it's hard is that they think they have to clear their mind. They're like, I want to meditate, but my brain is crazy. I have ADHD. Yeah. I'm thinking about my ex. I'm thinking about my taxes. I'm thinking about climate change, the election.
So how do you start if you've got all that stuff happening and it's really difficult to turn that volume down?
Yeah. So the really liberating thing, the first thing I start with is that no one can clear their mind. Like, I want to just blow open that misconception right out of the gate, because that's why most people quit, because they feel like they're failing. They try to quiet their mind and then they can't. And then they feel like then a shame spiral starts. So the thing that I start with is that the mind thinks involuntarily.
Yes,
just
for
like
sure.
The heart beats involuntarily.
Absolutely right.
Right. So if like you wouldn't be like, heart stop beating, any more than you can say brain stop thinking. So once people understand that, then they're open to like, oh, well, then what do I do? Right. So what I teach at Ziva is a 3-part process. We start with mindfulness, then we move into meditation and we finish with manifesting. Now, where people get confused is a lot of people think that mindfulness and meditation are the same. And mindfulness is what most of the apps are, the YouTube videos, anyone guiding you through, focusing on your breath. Mm-hmm. That's what I would call mindfulness. It's really good at handling your stress in the now, which is great because a lot of people are like, I had a crazy day at work, traffic, kids, whatever. I need a state change in the now. Mm-hmm. The type of meditation that I teach is actually creating a trait change. You're giving your body rest that is 5 times deeper than sleep. And that's really important because it handles the stress not only from today, but the backlog of stress from our past. And that's really the thing that's making us feel crazy.
Yeah. And that's also the thing that's making us feel very sick.
Yeah.
Because you can have a physiological manifestation of your stored stress.
1,000,000%.
And you can go to doctors, you can get MRIs, you can have probes, all sorts of things. But, you know, there's a difference between holding on to stress and having it manifest physically and having a psychosomatic illness that is in your head that you are creating.
100%. And we have an opportunity to learn our lessons on the spiritual plane. And if we don't do it there, then we have to learn it on the psychological plane, which becomes more expensive and takes longer. You got to pay your therapist in New York City, you know, $300 a week for 10 years. Or if you don't learn it on the psychological plane, then it does show up on the physical plane. So it's actually cheaper, easier, and faster to go ahead and meditate, even though people think it's a waste of time. And it's like, well, actually, none of us have time to waste. Right. And I would even argue that none of us have time to spend. All of us have time to invest. Right. And the thing about meditation is that it really is an investment. For 15 or 20 minutes a day, you're going to get back hours of productivity, hours back of insomnia, hours back of sickness and indecision.
So how do you get into a deep meditative state?
So what I teach is it's a very lazy meditation. It's
fantastic. You've come to the right place.
Because it's not about discipline or focus or chanting or sitting in fancy position or having fancy Lululemon pants. Mm-hmm. It's actually about deep healing rest. And so I start with mindfulness, which is all about, again, handling that stress in the now, getting you present. And then we move into this deep restful meditation. So something that I use is something called a mantra. And that word has been very hijacked by the wellness industry. People think that a mantra is like a slogan or a saying, like, I'm a strong, angry woman, or like, I deserve abundance. But those I would call slogans. Yeah. And a mantra is actually a Sanskrit word. Man means mind and trut means vehicle. So all we're doing with a mantra is that we're moving our consciousness from our left brain waking state down into that right brain de-excited being state. And that is where the magic happens. Like that is where that healing happens on the physical layer.
Do you have to say it?
No, you actually don't want to chant it, because when you say it or chant it,
you wake yourself up.
Yeah, that's like active. And there is chanting practices and those are beautiful. That's very different from Ziva, right? Like Ziva is, it almost feels like a nap sitting up. It does not look good on Instagram, but it feels amazing. And actually for just 15 minutes of it, you're giving your body rest that's over an hour's worth of sleep without a sleep hangover.
So you're saying the same word over and over again to get you deeper and deeper?
Well, the thing about it is that just like when you would go into a car, like you mm-hmm. put the key into the car and you turn it on, but they don't keep grinding the key.
Yeah.
Same is true of the mantra.
Burn out your starter.
Exactly.
I think we've all done that.
So the same thing with the mantra, like you want to have the right mantra for the right person and you want to learn how to start it, but then you're not just like mantra, 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 mantra. Mm-hmm. You're not grinding it. It's actually about effortlessness, ease, letting go. And then once you finish the meditation, then we move into manifesting, which sounds woo-woo, but it's very simple. It's
the
just
secret.
Yeah, it's just like consciously.
I manifested a Bentley.
A Bentley. Just put a Bentley on your vision board.
That's
and then it shows up.
That's absolutely right. There she is.
That's how it works. Yeah. But actually, there is a decent amount of science around manifesting because you're programming something called the reticular activating system, which is the filtration device in your brain. And so once you start to program that to look for the things that you want in your life, you start to see more of them. There's millions of inputs available to us at any given moment.
You can do that
moment.
With colors. Hmm? It's like you can do that with colors. You can say, look for the color purple. And then you will start seeing people in purple shirts.
And you know, there's 14 words, 14 different shades of blue in the language Russian. And so Russian people who speak Russian can see more shades of blue than the rest of us.
Oh, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're manifesting blueness.
So if you're putting your attention on the things you actually want to create, you start to see more of them because you're training your brain to filter for it. The cool thing about manifesting is if you do it after the meditation, where the right and left hemispheres of the brain are functioning in unison, it's much more powerful than doing it, just making a vision board or just thinking about it when you're in traffic.
Solid. Mm-hmm. I like meditating in the sauna.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like getting like super hot and receiving and not reacting to the heat.
How do you have a sauna in New York?
At Equinox.
Oh, okay. You go to a place.
Yeah.
Okay,
I don't have a sauna.
Okay. I was like, this is my number one.
My Park Avenue mansion. I've got a 14-person sauna. And sometimes I just invite the well-heeled hobos inside to nurse our drought of sadness.
Well, please invite me over. This is the number one thing I'm manifesting is a sauna. But the
you can get a 1 or 2 person sauna on Wayfair. You can get an infrared sauna on Wayfair. They have a lot of them.
Okay,
I've looked it up.
See, my dreams are already coming true. Yeah. Thank you. You're already saving my world.
You haven't Googled it, clearly. I don't know if it's a manifestation, is a practical reality of looking up something on the internet.
Here, let me Google that for you.
Exactly. No, but I was like, man, it sure would be great to have a sauna. And I looked it up on Wayfair. They're like $3,000.
But
I didn't
get one.
Can
you fit it in your spot? That's the thing. It feels like ugly inside of an apartment.
Yeah, maybe. But they're all wood.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's wood. Put some fake flowers.
And so are you doing it once a day, twice a day? How many minutes are you doing?
No, usually like 3 times a week.
I'd say
15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. And I feel a profound difference. This is Kennedy Saves the World. Don't go anywhere.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
You went to an ashram or a school in India.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a psychologist who created a form of meditation that's grounded in mindfulness and meditation.
Cool.
Called dialectical behavioral therapy. And she, as a practicing Zen Buddhist, taught me how to meditate. And that was 25 years ago. And I still use her skills every single day.
Wow.
And it's interesting because her tools are now taught kind of universally in public schools. So when you get an email home, like, you know, we're discussing mindfulness. That is from Dr. Marsha Linehan, who is a goddess among us. But, and then if I meditate in the sauna, then I go home and write down all my worries and put them in the shredder. And I find that it's very helpful.
That's a beautiful ritual.
And it's lovely.
A lot of people are like, why would you do the ritual? And there's something too on the 5 senses reality, seeing your worries being shredded or burning them into paper.
Yep.
There is an alchemical process that changes our relationship with the worry versus just, you know, repressing them or piling them up inside, which again, they then manifest on the physical plane. So
yeah,
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. And so I'm curious, I'm a meditation snob, like what would happen if you started to do that every day?
My meditation?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Probably get real hot.
Too enlightened.
Emily, I don't want to be too enlightened.
I get it.
You know, it's like I still have to be accessible to the young people.
You're in New York City.
Yeah.
You got to like stay rough. You got to stay tough.
I got to have some pointy edges. Otherwise, the hordes will just walk all over me.
So I think that's an interesting misconception that some people are like, well, if I meditate, I'll be too soft. I'll be too easy. I'll just float right off of the plane. But I actually find that the opposite happens. I've been doing this thing every day, twice a day for 16 years.
Wow.
And I find that it makes me more adaptive, that I actually can connect with people more. I find more unity. Whereas I was afraid too, like, am I going to become too, will New York City be too tough on my nervous system?
Is it?
It is.
I mean, that's a big shift because you were here and it sounds like you kind of got burned out. And then you went to India and you found your calling and became a teacher and studied really hard and learned Sanskrit and wrote a bunch of words down. And, you know, it's like bolstered your personal practice so that you could turn it around and teach and help other people.
Mm-hmm.
So returning to New York, was that hard?
Well, I got burned out when I was on Broadway. Once I learned to meditate, I have not experienced burnout again.
Are you still on Broadway?
No.
Maybe it was the Broadway
not.
Part.
I mean, 8 shows a week, 6 days a week is not a joke.
No.
Not a joke. Now I basically just sit quietly in a chair for a living, which is...
What's more lucrative, teaching meditation or being a Broadway star?
For me, teaching meditation.
Good for you.
Yeah, I created the world's...
Did you really figure it out?
Well, I created the world's first online meditation training in 2013. So it was before Oprah Chopra. It was before Headspace. It was
Oprah
before
Chopra.
Calm. And it was an experiment. I didn't know if it was going to work, but I knew how profound these tools were. And I knew that the online technology was getting better and better. So it's like, I wanted to get these into the hands of as many people as possible.
Can you be a Christian and practice Ziva meditation?
100%. I would look at all religions as a software.
Yeah.
And meditation is a hardware upgrade. And so one is the operating system and the other one is defragging your brain computer. And in order to be able to run really high level software, which most of the most elegant religions on the planet are, you need very high level hardware. Because every spiritual text on the planet is saying, do unto others as you would have done unto you. The kingdom of heaven is within. And yet if you are stressed, it is very hard to act in accordance with those sacred texts. So I think that actually meditation can make you a better Christian.
That's interesting. I think I find that when you combine meditation and prayer, which for you might be manifestation, I find that to be very powerful.
1,000,000%. I would say that meditation is listening to God and prayer is talking to God.
Yeah.
Right? So you really want to have a two-way conversation. You would not want to be in a relationship with someone where only one person was speaking. Oof. Right? It's not that enjoyable. We've all been there.
I had that happen recently. Oh, it was not good.
You're like, have you heard of a question?
Yes, exactly.
Let me introduce you.
No, I actually don't want to hear one more thing about you, maybe ever.
And so we don't want to be in that sort of relationship with the divine, right? It's like, yes, we want to share mostly gratitude, not just our complaints and requests, also gratitude, but then opening up to how nature wants to communicate to us. And in order to do that, we really have to be able to listen. And if you don't have a practice of stillness, of de-exciting the nervous system, then it's hard to listen. And that's really one of the gifts that meditation gives you.
Yeah. And it's really easy to get torqued up. You know, it's like I was torqued up today and I wasn't feeling well. And, you know, who knows? Could have been stress. Could have been something that felt like the flu. Mm. So I went and swam at Equinox. Lovely.
Just plug an Equinox.
I was swimming next to a lady who was so fast and had such good form that I was so stoked I wanted to give her a high five. Like, I'm always, like, so happy when I get to, like, run. Like, I stopped a woman in the gym the other day because her running form on the treadmill was so good. And I felt like she had to know.
Yes.
And I said, I wanted to take video of her running from the neck down and send it to my triathlon coach pretending it was me. Oh. I couldn't do that because that's stolen valor. But that's, I would love to run like that. And then, so I felt better after I swam, which in itself can be very meditative. Like, I think you can find meditation almost anywhere.
So what I love about the first thing you said is that swimming can be meditative, which I would agree with. You can access meditative states in surfing, painting, sex, lots of ways to access flow state. That is separate, though, from meditation. And
yes.
I think that we can confuse people if you say, like, well, I meditate when I wash dishes, or I meditate in the woods walking. And it's a subtle difference, but it's an important one, because then we're focusing on process versus outcome, right? Like, when you're meditating twice a day, you are by nature going to have that bliss chemistry that you're making internally. That is going to stay with you throughout the rest of your day. So yes, everything can feel meditative, from washing your dishes to walking your dog, but it's different than the actual act itself.
Yes, because the meditative swimming was lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Wanted to high five a lady. I didn't, because that's, when you get out of the pool and someone's still in there swimming, it's weird.
But like, also,
that's
jarring. Could you do it underwater?
You could. But then, you know, it's like you're in swimsuits. So that can feel like an assault.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, it's like you have to be very careful to breach those boundaries.
But
then actual meditating after the swim with people in the sauna, this one woman was so aggressively putting on lotion that I was like, I'm going to incorporate this in my meditation.
Yeah. See, this is the key. You want to incorporate what is inside of the practice.
Yes.
Because so many people think that meditation is about clearing the mind or focusing. Then they think that the lotion or the bird chirping or the honking or the sirens, that's a distraction. And what I teach at Ziva is, like, actually, you can only have a disappointment if you first have an appointment. So if you let go of your agenda, what you think should be happening in the practice, and instead pull the lens of awareness out and start to accept and include everything inside of the sitting, then you surrender to what is. What is becomes the portal. And then you don't sit there feeling like you're in torture chamber or like in timeout, like our parents used to do when we were little.
Yes. And that's part of what my therapy was when I went through therapy with Marcia, was learning how to be in the moment and to be non-reactive.
Mm.
Because being in a reactive state and worrying about everything gave me so many, like, negative physical sensations.
Yeah.
And it's like I had to train my brain to overcome it. But I have to say, 25 years later, I'm still using that practice. And I agree, if you can find a practice, it really can enhance your life. And then, I mean, I feel personally that has a multiplier effect. So it's like, if you're stoked, then you're going to smile at someone. They're going to be like, oh, that was nice. I'm going to go smile at someone. How about that? I'm going to smile at strangers.
Yes.
And then, you know, your children and your coworkers and everyone else, like, hopefully that positive ripple effect will slowly make the world a better place, and then we can all save the world.
Well, you know, I gave a talk in Greece. It was the best talk I ever gave.
Where in Greece?
I was in Mykonos.
Lovely.
And it was...
The party island.
The party island. And the talk was called How to Save the World in Two Simple Steps. And I basically talked about like the three big threats we were facing at the time. And then the joke at the end was like, step one, meditate in the morning. Step two, meditate in the afternoon. And the premise of the talk was that we are not going to be able to solve these problems at the same level of consciousness with which we created them. And it's the famous Einstein quote, right? So it's like, if we want to transcend these real challenges that we're being faced with as a species, we are going to have to collectively up-level our consciousness. It is going to require all hands on deck internally and all hands on deck, like everyone in the species. We can't afford to be stupid, sick, and slow. And unfortunately, that is what stress does to us. It makes us stupid, sick, and slow. And good news, this is a solvable problem. We have a solution.
How great is that? So go check out Ziva Meditation. You can Google that on your device. You will find Emily Fletcher, and your world might be saved. Emily, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. I've loved it.
It is my absolute pleasure. Thank you for saving the world. We need you.
We all need each other, and we all need to meditate. This has been Kennedy Saves the World. I'm Kennedy. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.